And good morning to everyone. Our first case this morning is Putnam v. Schoebring. This is a petition for further review. So, Mr. Laughlin, good morning to you. You may approach and you may proceed.
They believe that the Norquay factors applied. and they said that under the Norquay factors, Judge Otepka abused his discretion.
And your response to that is?
Wrong test. Even if they got the right test, clearly the wrong result. And a couple of the reasons, a couple of the problems, and I say this with all due respect to the Court of Appeals.
Before you go there, would you enlarge on the wrong test part?
Absolutely.
Would you talk about that first and then go on?
Absolutely. There's a difference between discovery sanctions between parties and the court's ability to exercise its inherent powers, enforce its own deadlines, and meet the guidelines of when 90% of these cases are supposed to be done in a year and 98% after a year and a half that this court has imposed. Those are very different. And here's what I mean. You know, when we got expert interrogatories going back and forth, okay, that's between counsel, and the court is the arbiter of those decisions, but doesn't really have a dog in the fight. Okay? But the court has to have the ability to enforce its own progression scheduling deadlines, including expert deadlines, witnesses, you know, trials, trial dates. They got criminal. You know, they're on the front lines. You probably know this as well as I do. And those are different considerations. We cited the court in our brief to the cases that this court and the Court of Appeals have decided on the court's inherent powers, discovery, dispute, where no Norquay factors are listed. Let me give you one example. Let's say you're the judge, and I come to you the Friday before Monday trial and say, hey, you know, Super Bowl's on Sunday, I'm not really prepared, and I'd like to kick this case. And the opposing counsel says, you know, I want to watch Super Bowl too. Well, under Norquay, I mean, both were together, there's no dispute, but every court has the right under their inherent power to say, hey, you know what, I set this trial, you all agreed to these deadlines, I've got guidelines put on me by the Nebraska Supreme Court that I'm trying to meet, and darn it, this isn't about Norquay, this is about me being able to use my inherent powers to enforce the court. Your Honor, I respectfully contend that's at least part, if not the analysis here, and it's not all about the Norquay factors.
Thank you.
Your Honor, getting back to your question was, what did the court get wrong? So one answer is what we just got done discussing, which is, you know, we believe they applied the wrong test and that the inherent powers of the court are clearly at issue as they are cited in our brief. Again, cases about discovery where the Court of Appeals or this court doesn't talk about the Norquay factors, they say, hey, we've got the inherent power to do these. The court has the inherent power. Number two is this kind of sense that I've got to, as an opposing attorney, this is where they're forced to go, is they say, I've got to reasonably infer, okay, what expert opinions are going to be offered. That's right out of the Court of Appeals opinion. Number one, it's flat out against the rules. The rules don't talk about that I've got to reasonably infer anything, and they don't talk about that I've got to guess. I'm entitled to know what their opinions are. One other thing that I want to reserve 2 minutes real quick, another real problem here is, if they're allowed to come in on day of trial and say necessity, surprise, never told you about this before, and if it's an abuse of discretion after four for the judge, then, you know, aren't I entitled to know what his bases are? Nobody ever told me what the basis of these brand new surprise opinions were. Aren't I entitled to redepose the plaintiff's expert? Who's going to pay for that? My clients were in from the state of Washington and the state of Colorado. They'd taken off. Are they going to have to come back in 3 months? Who's going to pay for that? Is there some prejudice there? These go into the Norquay factors. Do I get a chance to go back to my own expert and say, now I've got this surprise opinion on necessity and fairness and reasonableness. What do you think about that? Do I have to go redepose some other experts? Maybe. None of that was considered.
What exactly do you think would be the proper relief if the court were persuaded?
Reverse the Court of Appeals. Okay. And affirm Judge Otepka's ruling that he did not abuse his discretion, that very high standard.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Friedman, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. If it pleases the court, my name is Herb Friedman. I'm here today on behalf of Mr. Putnam. Mr. Galter is co-counsel, and unfortunately he is not able to make it here. He's able to walk and can't navigate the halls. I think the major thing before the court, from our perspective, is really, can you ever correct a mistake? I don't doubt that there were mistakes in this. And years ago, Judge Herb Ronan, who many of you remember, told me when I approached him one time and said I made a mistake. He said, well, you made a mistake, and that's why we have erasers on pencils. And I guess I'm here as the eraser. Paul Galder has been practicing law in this state for 60 years. He's an excellent lawyer, one of the smartest guys I've ever met in my life. He's considered the dean of the matrimonial bar. He's still in the office every day, still practices law, but he can't get around very much anymore. Very talented lawyer. He's a lawyer's lawyer. But even lawyers' lawyers make mistakes and have a bump in the road, and I think that's what happened with Paul. Paul took over this case sometime in, right after it happened. Mr. Putnam was one of his divorce clients. And the case was, accident happened in December 2008. Paul filed the case in the summer of 2012. 6 months later, to the day, it was dismissed by the district court for failure to move. They have that rather strict docket in the court of Douglas County. It was immediately reinstated. Well, things began to happen. Things didn't begin to happen. Mr. Putnam had a serious injury. I think it was a serious injury. He had pain from the beginning of this accident. He's got pain now. Never did recover. And that dragged the case along a bit. And there's no question that the Court of Appeals remarked that there were delays in discovery, and in the words of the Supreme Court of Appeals, they said, I can't be condoned, and I'm not here to disagree with that. There probably were some problems with discovery. No doubt about that.
Mr. Friedman, what's your best argument that the Court of Appeals did not review for abuse of discretion, but substituted its own judgment?
Well, the Court of Appeals analyzed it and looked at it and said it appears that the reason that that Judge Otepka did not grant the continuance was because it was a discovery issue. They didn't know about this information, according to defense counsel, and that was a discovery issue. That was the reason that they applied the Norquay test.
You heard opposing counsel argue that this really isn't a Norquay issue, it's an inherent power issue. What's wrong with that argument?
I suppose that's one way to look at it, Your Honor. I can't really make an argument that says that it's a bad argument. It just, what happens is that it permits the court to throw out discovery issues, and I don't think that's appropriate. Not a very good answer, I'm afraid.
Did the court's progression order in this case include expert deadlines and
everything, Your Honor.
Disclosures? So it basically was a safety net sort of underneath the discovery.
That's right. And by the way, I have to disagree with counsel when he said he didn't know about the opinion until the day of the trial. That's just simply inaccurate. In the Court of Appeals, they rule the fact that the supplemental opinion of Dr. Benton was given to the defendants on March 30th, 2015. That was 2.5 months before the trial. But that was more than adequate.
Was that the opinion that tied necessity of the bills
Absolutely.
To the accident?
Yes.
What about the brain injury? When did that evidence, when was that disclosed, that opinion?
We never actually had a brain injury opinion. The doctor suggested in his opinion, in his letter, that he may have had a brain injury and wanted to send him to a psychologist. I'm not even arguing about that.
When did the brain injury occur?
The time of the accident. This was a high-speed accident, Your Honor. The defendant struck the plaintiff going 35 to 40 miles an hour. And the impact was so that the seatbelt actually was torn loose from the riggings. In any event, Mr. Galter did have some health problems in December, November of 2014. He had two open heart surgeries. He was trying to find substitute counsel at that time. He did not contact me, however, until January of 2015. Paul and I go back a long way, and I agreed to take on the case. As the record shows, I fractured my ankle on January 4th, and I was home recovering, and I looked at the file while I was home. The first thing I saw was the deposition that was taken by Mr. Laughlin, who's a very excellent lawyer, and pinned the doctor down as to his opinions, and none of the opinions that he rendered at that time were that the medical bills were fair, reasonable, and necessary. And I looked at that, and lights went off, and I said, okay, I know exactly where this is going. Because if there's no opinion of the fair, reasonable necessity, we're not going to get the $106,000 worth of medical bills. That's exactly why I filed the motion to reopen the discovery. And it was argued in front of the judge, and the judge simply refused to open the discovery. And I thought that there was plenty of time. We didn't ask for a continuance of the case. The case was scheduled for trial on June 24th, 2015. We filed our motion back in the wintertime. He had the medical report on March 30th. That's in the record, not disputed.
And that was after the deposition had already been taken?
Right. And in addition to that, probably no question that defendants had copies of the bills because the bills were mentioned in Dr. Craville's report that was a year before, in June of 2014. I attached a copy of that to the affidavit, and that was part of the record. So there wasn't anything new about this thing.
But the pieces of the puzzle don't really get put together until you know what you can have all the medical records and all the medical bills in front of you as a plaintiff's lawyer. You still don't know what kind of case you have until you get that medical testimony putting the pieces together. Right?
Well, you have to have the medical testimony that ties the medical bills into the accident. That's why you have to have an opinion based upon reasonable medical certainty.
And that's the same position that the defendants are taking here, is that they may have had the pieces of paper, but they didn't have the opinions. So they didn't know how the puzzle was going to fit together.
Well, they had the opinion as of March 30th, 2015, which was almost 3 months before trial. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
Yes, 1 minute and 10 seconds.
1 minute and 10 seconds, Mr. Laughlin.
Thank you. The record is mucked in terms of when exactly what was produced when, but if you look at the supplement, the transcript at 115, Mr. Herb Friedman's affidavit, he says, on March 20, 2015, Dr. Vinton prepared a supplemental report attached to his Exhibit A, which was disclosed to defendants on June 2, 2015. Okay, so he didn't disclose the report, even though it was dated on March 30 to me, until over a month later, and that's like 2 or 3 weeks before trial. And I will also confirm the necessity opinion was first offered at trial, the first time we ever heard of that. And to follow up on Your Honor's final question or comment, we did have some of the medical bills. I mean, we subpoenaed the medical bill or medical records, so we had some of the medical records. But there was treatment that went on later, and there were bills that we didn't get. And so it was both what Your Honor said. We had some of the pieces of the puzzle and no opinions. But we had far from all of the pieces of the puzzle. And honest to God, what happened is, I get this flurry at the end, all this new stuff. 1-1-1. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next